Amen. Well, I am certainly happy to be here tonight. I'm glad that it's raining and not snowing. Amen. And I'm so glad about that. I'm going to go to the wireless mic, so you can go ahead and switch over to that. I think, is this thing already on? It sounds like it is. I'll get rid of that one and come right over here to this. If you get a chance, as the preacher said, I have several things out there on the table. The booklet out there, let me tell you just briefly about that booklet. That booklet, the title of the booklet is called How to Study the World's Greatest Book. It's a booklet that teaches you how to study the Bible. Whether you've been saved for a day or 30 years, that booklet will help you in your Bible study time. It's what I do every day in my personal Bible study. That's how I, what you read in that booklet is what how I study my Bible every day. I'm a big believer that more than me preaching and more than your preacher preaching, if I can get God's people in the Word of God studying the Bible every day, I believe we could have revival in the church. Because the Bible is what cleans up lives. Only reason why God uses preaching is because we're preaching the Bible. And the Bible is what does the work. God, the Holy Spirit uses the Bible to speak to our hearts. Now, you don't have to wait from Sunday to Wednesday to get something. You could get something on Monday and Tuesday. Here's what happens with most people. As they read the Bible, and I know you all have a Bible reading schedule around here, and I'm not against a Bible reading schedule, but I'll just tell you this. You know, nowhere in the Bible does God say we have to read through the Bible once a year. But God does say to study the Bible. And I believe if you start studying the Bible like you ought to, going through the Bible once a year will be no problem. Because the Bible is an exciting book, and once you start learning truths, you'll just want to read more and study more because it is an exciting book. This booklet will teach you how to study the Bible, what to look for. If all you do is read for whatever 3 or 4 chapters a day of whatever you're supposed to read to get through the Bible in the year, that's all you get out of your Bible reading. You get what you go after. But if you go after your study time to learn something from the Word of God, that's your whole purpose. Not the amount of chapters you read, but you're going to go in the Bible and say, I want to read until I get something. You'll be amazed how God will give you something every day. And it won't take as long as you think it will. And so this booklet will teach you that. In the back of that booklet, there's a Bible journal that you can install on your computer. I believe every home ought to get that booklet. Every Christian ought to read it. Dr. Lee Robinson wrote the foreword for the booklet. He told me as he saw it and read it, he told me, he says, I've never seen a booklet at all like this. He loved it. He told me I ought to do several other booklets like that. I don't know if I will or not, but he told me I should have. And he was excited about it. He wrote the foreword for it. So I hope that you could get it. And I really believe if you could get anything, if you say, I want one thing off your table, get the booklet. Because that will help you years down the road in how to study the Bible. And if you can become a better Christian, you'll be a better member of this church. And that's what my goal is more than anything else. And then, of course, my new book that I've just written, it's not out in print yet. We're working on that. And I worked on a couple of those chapters today, doing some proofing on that. But if you'd like to get involved and get the discounted price of that book, it's called Blueprints for Life, 13 chapters, be right around 200 pages long, will be the size of the book. I took 13 men from the Bible, and I teach several lessons from their lives that will help us in our lives. I'd like you to get that. If you can get that at a discounted price, $11, that includes the shipping and handling. You don't have to pay me tonight. If you'll just get that piece of paper, fill it out, give it back to me, then when it goes to the printer, we'll call you up, and we'll work out the payment method then. So I hope that you get something off the table that will help me out. Take your Bibles now. Turn, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter number 29. 2 Chronicles chapter number 29. Once you have found it, let's all stand as you read the Word of God this evening. 2 Chronicles chapter number 29. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Now, let me help you out just a little bit. I know this is a Baptist church. I've every time I'd come in, I see Brian Baptist Church on the front of the church. Now, Baptist, there is a four-letter word that Baptist can say that's not a curse word. Let me help you out. It's called amen. Okay? It don't hurt you to say amen in church. You say, Brother Domley, when do I say amen? There's two times you say amen. First time you say amen is when you like what the preacher's saying. If the preacher says, our sins are in the blood of Jesus Christ, you say, amen. There you go. If the preacher says, hey, we're saved and we're on our way to heaven, you ought to say, if the preacher says Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you, you ought to say. If the preacher says that, if the preacher says the King James Bible is the Word of God, you ought to say. If the preacher says, hey, this is the best church in the state of Michigan, you ought to say. I'm just watching the other church members here. Now, that's the first time you say amen. Brother Nutter has a bad spirit. Wouldn't say amen during that time. Don't understand. But anyway. But then there's a second time you say amen. You say, Brother Domley, when's the second time we say amen? When you don't like what the preacher's saying. You say, now, why would I say amen then? Because when you get quiet, we know that we are in your living room and we are making you miserable. So that's just the best time to say amen. So we just move on. You say, isn't that hypocritical? Sure it is. But I'll get right with God about that at the altar at the end of the service. But I'm dead sure not going to let the whole church know what my sins are. And so I'm just going to say amen. Now, and honestly, you know, we go to ball games and we cheer and enjoy our time at a ball game. You got to come to church. And saying amen is getting involved in the service. And it helps you out. It helps the preacher out. And it does one other thing. When the preacher gets a little hot and there's visitors or young Christians that are watching you and you don't ever make any sign of agreement, what it does, it makes everybody think that no one agrees with the preacher. And when you say amen, it helps everyone know, hey, we're all in agreement with this. This is what we are like around here. And the visitors ought not to come in and think, man, nobody agrees with that guy. I mean, man, good night. He must be off the wall somewhere. He done slipped on the banana peel and knocked his head in the wall or something. I mean, you gotta learn to just enjoy church just a little bit. And I'm saying, man, it won't hurt you. Now, ladies, I know we teach that ladies ought to be quiet in the church house. But now this is what you can do, ladies. You can smile, you can nod your head, and if your husband won't do anything, just give him a good elbow in the rib, get something out of him, and I think if we do that, I think we can all enjoy church. I really believe, I think you ought to go to church, you ought to enjoy church. I think you all do that around here, but you ought to express it also, and just learn how to enjoy church and express it. We've let the charismatics take our excitement away from us, and we ought not to do that. 2 Chronicles 29. Have I already read this? Have I yet? I don't think I have. Verse 15. I'm getting old like your preacher. Bible says in verse, that's what happens when you hang around him for a couple hours every day. Bible says in verse 15, and they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. And brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. You'll notice in verse 16, the Bible says, notice this phrase, the priest went into the what? Inner part of the house of the Lord to what? Cleanse it. Notice they didn't just go in the courtyard. You notice they went to the very inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. You all have prayed for revival. You've asked for it for several weeks through these cottage prayer meetings. You've been here yesterday morning and last night. We'll never have revival if we don't get rid of sin. It just won't happen. We can preach all the feel-good sermons we want to, but ladies and gentlemen, feel-good sermons won't get sin out of our life. Every once in a while, a preacher has to say, thus saith the Lord. Not always easy. Tonight, I hope you listen to me. I want to speak tonight on the subject. It's house cleaning time. It's house cleaning time. Honestly, if we want revival, God's people, not the world, not the lost, God's people, need to have a house cleaning. Because when we are clean, then God can work through us in a more powerful way so more souls can be saved. I hope you listen to me for the next few minutes as I speak to you on this subject. Father, you know my heart as I have prepared myself throughout this day, as I've prayed, as I've studied. My mind has been on wanting to help your people. If I felt there's another sermon that you wanted me to preach tonight, I'd preach it. But for some reason, and why I do not know, I feel like you want this sermon preached tonight. Now, God, these are good people. But even good people, we all still are sinners, and we all still have things we need to work on. Show us tonight, reveal to us tonight, what area of our life that is hindering us from having a true revival personally that could cause this church not to have revival corporately. Use me now in these next few minutes. Holy Spirit, may your presence be real tonight. May you ever be present. I know you're here, but make your presence felt in a very special way this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Every year, about the springtime of the year, people start doing what we call spring cleaning time, and that is coming up real soon. It cannot come soon enough. Closets and cupboards are opened up. Junk drawers are opened up. We go through the houses and start doing what we call spring cleaning, getting all the junk out that we've collected throughout the last year. We go into the garage, that place where you're supposed to park cars. You got that. That has now become a storage unit of all the junk that we have collected, that we have gone to yard sales and flea markets and collected a bunch of junk. We now go to the garages and clean the garages out. We gather all the junk. We get in that junk drawer. We got to be careful as we open it up, because if you're not careful, you don't keep your hand there, that junk drawer can become a weapon as you open it up, because it is just so packed with junk. You know what I'm talking about. We go through the houses cleaning, gathering all of our junk to put it in a yard sale to sell our junk to somebody else, so that in another year they can sell our junk that they bought for their junk to somebody else so they can have some more junk. It's just a passing on of the junk that we thought we needed that we really did not need. We clean and organize for one purpose. We feel like visitors may come in the summertime. We want our houses to look presentable. We want our houses to be clean. And we just feel like one time a year we've got to do that thorough cleaning. We've got to go in our teenage boys' room and get a bomb and blow it up to get all the stuff out of there. We've got to clean it all up. We do a thorough spring cleaning because visitors are coming to town. Now, as I think of this, I always classify homes in three categories. The first category of home is what I call the filthy home. You say, what kind of home is this, Brother Domley? Well, it's pretty self-explanatory. This type of home, these people just don't care about their dirt. You know what I'm talking about. There's trash laying everywhere. There's food from last week still on the dining table. There's the food, the dishes in the sink have been gathered and gathered and gathered until now you've got to save the dishes before you wash them because there's stuff growing on those dishes. Those are the type of homes you walk in. You know what I'm talking about. You walk in, and you've got to wear a nose plug to walk inside that house. Have you ever been there? You know what I'm talking about? Now, I'm not talking about your teenage boy's room. I'm talking about the whole house is that way. You know, it's just one of those homes. You know what I'm talking about. You knock on that door. You're out knocking on doors. They invite you in. They tell you to sit down, and then you politely say, oh, that's okay, I can stand. I've been sitting for a while. You big liar, but that's what you said. Because that couch is filthy. You just don't want to get your clothes where if you walk out, you got to go to the cleaners. You know, it's just one of those homes that's filthy. You just have to kind of, they just kind of push things aside. They say, oh, don't worry about the clutter. Just push it aside. And you just kind of have to step over all of their stuff because they just don't care about their filth. Now, that's what I call the filthy home. Then there's a second type of home. That second type of home is what I call the surface cleaned house. Now, this second type of house, I'll be quite honest with you, that is the majority of homes in America. You say, what are you talking about? Oh, these are the type of homes that on the surface, everything looks right. You go inside the living room, it looks clean. You go in the kitchen, it looks clean. But there's certain rooms that are off limits. You know what I'm talking about. Someone comes to your house. You threaten your kids and say, if you bring anybody in there, you're going to heaven tonight. You know what I'm talking about. It's that house that you want everybody to think you're clean. I mean, oh, you clean what everybody sees. You make sure everything's just right. But underneath your bed, it's dirty. Your closet is unorganized. Your bedrooms are not clean like they ought to be clean. Oh, you're just worried about what everybody sees inside your house. That's all you're worried about. You see, it's not that you mind dirt. You just mind anybody knowing you as a dirty person. It's not the dirt that bothers you. It's what everybody thinks about you. That is what bothers you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this type of person, oh, as long as no one finds the dirt, they can live with that dirt. But if someone finds it, they're embarrassed. They apologize. And they always come up with some excuse. Oh, we're not normally that way. Yes, you are normally that way. But you know what I'm talking about. It's just a surface cleaned house. Do I need to give an invitation right now? But anyway, but that's the second type of house. Now, there's a third type of house. This is called the clean home. This one is genuinely clean through and through. No matter where you go, it's always clean. No matter when you come, it's always clean. Whenever you walk in the house, everything's immaculate. You walk in the kitchen, the dishes are always done. Everything's always clean. The bedroom doors are always open. The beds are always made. The closets are organized, and everything is just right inside these closets. These are called the clean homes. Now, why are they clean? Tell you exactly why. Because the person that lives in that house, they're not worried about what everybody else thinks. It's just that they live there. And they don't want dirt in there because they live there. It's not what everybody else thinks about them. They're the ones that have to live there. And they just don't want to put up with dirt. Now, that's what you call the clean home. Now, my wife, she likes this third type of home. She's a clean nut. I mean, it's pathetic. I get home sometimes. I'll go to bed in the middle of the night. I have to wake up to go to the washroom. I go to the washroom about 2 o'clock in the morning. After I'm done with the washroom, come back to bed. She's got the bed made up. I mean, it's pathetic how neat my wife is. She is a clean nut. You know what I'm talking about. You men know what I'm talking about. If you have a wife like this, every once in a while, my wife tries to clean my desk. I try to tell her, leave my desk alone. Because we men, we organize our desk the way we feel it ought to be organized. Help me out, man. I'm on your side right now. You know, my wife, every once in a while, am I preaching right now? I see husbands and wives looking at each other. Maybe we need to have a counseling line after the service tonight. I don't know. But you know what I'm talking about. You know, I'll come home one day from a meeting, and I'll get my desk, and I'll say, honey, where was that thing that was in this pile right here? It's about this halfway down. Where was it? She goes, well, I didn't think you needed it. I said, I did need it. That's why it was there. She says, why do you always blame me? I said, because I didn't do it. I said, I'm getting down to where we're all living right now. But I said, honey, I left it there on purpose. Now, my wife's a cleaner, and I'm glad she is. But you see, there's just some people that just want their house to be clean. That's what Hezekiah wanted for the temple of God. Hezekiah had become king. And as he's king now, he commands his servants to go into the house of God. He says, I want you to clean it out. He says, don't just go to the courtyard. Don't just go to the sanctuary where everyone sees. He says, go into the inner chambers. Go back there where no one else sees. Go back to that place where only God and the high priest would see. He says, I want it cleaned out. He says, this house of God is not a storage unit for the dirt of the world. This house of God is not a storage unit for us to pack and store all the junk from the world that we've gathered and make it a storage unit. He says, this is God's house. This is where God dwells. This is where God lives. He says, hey, this place ought to be clean because God lives in this place. May I say to you tonight, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, he ought not to live inside of a heart that's packed, filled with the filth that we pack inside there from the world. He lives inside of us. He deserves that clean house. He deserves that house where he's welcome inside every room. We ought not to say to the Holy Spirit, no, you can't go in that portion of my heart. I don't want you there. No, sir. The Holy Spirit ought to feel welcome inside of any room inside of our house. He ought to be able to go to the basement of our house. He ought to be able to go to the closet of our heart. He ought to be able to go to the underneath the bed of our heart. He ought to be able to go to the attic of our heart. He ought to be able to go to any spot that he wants to go. Why? Because God lives inside of us. God's the one that dwells inside of us. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, how we tonight in America need an old-fashioned revival of some house cleaning inside of the hearts of Christians tonight, where Christians would go inside of that heart and clean out the filth that we packed inside of our hearts. Hey, that's what America's dying for. And that's what America needs, is an old-fashioned house cleaning inside of our hearts tonight. Tonight, I'm not going to talk tonight to the filthy Christian who could care less about their dirt. So if you're that person tonight, you really don't care about your sin, you can relax. Because I'm not going to talk to you tonight. Because the truth is, I could preach till I'm blue in the face. It's not going to change you. Because he's preached, other preachers have preached, you've never changed. The only thing I will say to that person tonight, whoever you may be, hey, your payday's coming. There is a price on sin. And you may think it's fun right now. You may think it's funny right now. But may I say, when the payday of sin comes, you won't like the payday of sin. But tonight, let me tell you the crowd of people I want to talk to tonight. I want to talk to the Christians tonight that on the surface, you look mighty good. On the surface, everything looks like you got everything under control tonight. I chose this sermon tonight on purpose for tonight because I figured on Monday night this would probably be the best crowd that's going to show up, because normally you always have one lower night. Normally it's the Monday night. People come back for the last night, but if they're going to miss one night, they'll miss Monday night. And I just felt like tonight I'm going to hit the crowd tonight. Oh, on the surface, you look pretty good. You see, I'm talking to the crowd tonight. Oh, you've got the language down. You know how to talk the fundamental way. You come inside of church. You know how to, when you come to church, to flip that switch on, put the smile on your face. Hey, brother, how y'all doing? You know what I'm talking about. Oh, we've got everything down. We've got the dress standards down. We come to church in two-piece suit and tie. The ladies come to church in a dress. We look like we're part of the inner core of the church. Oh, we've got the facade down. We've got the surface down. Everybody, they look at us and say, hey, now there's a good Christian. I'm talking tonight to the crowd that's heavily involved in the Lord's work. On the surface, you look mighty good. On the surface, everything's fine. But down deep inside of the hearts of these individuals, there's some dirt that they've not dealt with yet. There's some dirt inside of the heart of these type of people. You've got everybody deceived but one person. God. Your wife doesn't know about it. Your husband doesn't know about it. Your parents don't know about it. Your children don't know about it. Your preacher doesn't know about it. No one has a clue what's going on in that private chamber that you've shut God out of. That private chamber that no one knows about. Oh, may I say to you tonight, you may think you have everyone fooled, but the only one you're fooling is yourself. Because God knows about it. And God knows what's going on inside. Hey, let me take you inside of the inner chambers of God's people tonight. Let me go inside of these inner chambers tonight, of the people here tonight. And let me just tell you some of the things I see inside of these inner chambers tonight. Would you come with me? Would you walk with me as we enter the inner chambers of the hearts of the members of Berean Baptist Church? Would you come with me and let me show you some of the things that I see inside of these inner chambers of the hearts of the members here, of some people here tonight that sit under my voice? Let me show you what I see. You say, Brother Domley, what do you see inside of these inner chambers? I'll tell you what I see. I see church members fighting with each other. See, what are you talking about? I'm talking about church members that go to the same church that can't get along with each other. I'm talking tonight, people in a church of this size. I am very positive. There's people in this church. There's someone in this room tonight you won't even talk to. Hey, God pity us. God help us to be a church like that. How in the world can we be call ourselves God's people, can't even talk to our own brothers and sisters in Christ that come to our own church? Hey, somewhere we ought to have a house cleaning. Why? Because it's house cleaning time. Hey, you called me up. You want a revival. Ladies and gentlemen, that means if we're going to have revival, we've got to have a house cleaning. We've got to go inside and get the dirt out and say, hey, time to get the fighting over with. Time to get all the agendas aside. And let's get one agenda. That's the agenda of Christ. Hey, that's whose agenda we ought to have tonight. We get so caught up in this circle and that circle and what I believe and what I feel. Ladies and gentlemen, don't matter what I feel, what I believe. It's what God says to do. That's what we ought to get wrapped up in. What do you see inside these inner chambers? I'll tell you what I see. I see husbands and wives fighting with each other. I'm talking tonight. Oh, no one in the church knows you do it, but your kids do. Your kids are screaming out, trying to get your attention, to get some of you moms and dads from stop fighting all the time. Oh, you come to church. You portray that your marriage is all together. But some of you sit here tonight, you know very well, before you even came to church, you had a knockdown, drag out fight. Oh, you didn't throw dishes. You didn't break things inside the house. But you fight and you squabble all the time. Hey, it's house cleaning time. It's house cleaning time. Let's clean up our marriages. Let's stop the fighting inside of our houses tonight. What do you see inside these inner chambers? I see brothers and sisters fighting. Listen, kids. Listen, teenagers. You can get along with your brother, and you can get along with your sister. Did you hear me? Sit up over here. Don't listen. It's not bedtime. It's church time. Listen to me. I'm talking tonight to young people tonight. You're causing your mom and dad headaches because all you do is fight and squabble. Mom and dad feel like a referee inside the house because all you do is yap, 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 yap. You're always fighting with each other, can't get along with each other. Hey, somewhere there ought to be an old-fashioned revival with some young people and some teenagers and say, hey, I can get along with my brother and I can get along with my sister. Hey, it's house cleaning time. It's house cleaning time. Hey, let's clean up the fighting inside of our lives tonight. Hey, Brother Domley, what do you see inside of these inner chambers? Oh, I see wicked thoughts inside of these inner chambers. Listen to me. I'm talking tonight, thoughts of lust. I'm talking to men tonight. Your wife can't see your thought life, but your mind is filled with lust. Your problem is, you're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. Problem is, you look at a woman, you have impure thoughts just because your mind is so filled with lust. You say, preacher, I just think you ought not to say that inside the pulpit. Ladies and gentlemen, it's about time we get our minds cleaned up inside of our churches. No wonder God can't do something inside of our churches when you got men whose minds are filled with lust, and not just men, even women whose minds are filled with lust. Hey, it's house cleaning time. What do you see inside these inner chambers? I see wicked pictures. I see people who watch wrong things on TV. I see people who say, well, we just got a language blocker. This is the time to say amen. We just block the curse words out, but you can't block the nudity out. You're still looking at wrong pictures. You're still filling your mind with the trash and the filth of Hollywood. You let Hollywood promote their adultery and their fornication and the homosexuality inside of your house. Hey, it's house cleaning time. It's house cleaning time. I'm talking tonight to men in this room whose minds are hooked in pornography. Listen, I was reading a recent article. They say that 55% of men in Christianity admit to being hooked on pornography. 55%. You know what that means? If 55% admit it, that means the number's higher than that. Because there's a lot of men, and by the way, there's a lot of you in here right now. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, your wife doesn't know about it, and you try to play computer dumb. You try to play computer idiot that you don't know, but you've got it all down. You've got it covered up. You do it on the job. You do it some other place. You're looking at things you ought not to look at. Hey, it's house cleaning time. I'm talking to ladies. The same article said 25% of women in Christian circles admit to being hooked on pornography. I never thought we'd dream of that day. Hey, I promise you tonight, you want to know why we have the marriage problems? You want to know why we have all the problems inside of our churches that we have? Tell you exactly why. We've got men and women that are filling their mind with this stuff. You say, I can control it. I can control it. Okay, we might control it right now, but one day you won't control it. And one day it will get you. And one day you'll act upon it. Hey, it's house cleaning time. It's house cleaning time. I'm talking to people who hooked on the chat rooms. Teenagers, listen, mom and dad, and you listen very carefully to this. I know your teenagers aren't going to like it, but I didn't ask them. No child or teenager ought to be on the internet without mom or dad inside that room. Did you hear me? Well, that means I'm going to have to supervise them. That's what you're a parent for. We wonder why our kids are getting hooked in these chat rooms. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, I can trust my kids. Let me help you out. They have got you fooled. They know how to get around your rules. They know how to get around your little passwords. They know how to get around. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, about time we have a house cleaning and decide, hey, let's clean up the impure thoughts and the wicked pictures going on inside of our house. What do you see inside of these chambers, Brother Tommy? I see marriage problems. I see wives that won't submit to their husbands. Boy, I'm getting lonely up here. You think this is rough? You wait for a few more minutes, it's going to get rougher. You listen to me. I'm talking to ladies tonight. I'm talking solid ladies in the church. You cause your husband headaches because you won't submit to him. He tries to lead, and every time he makes a decision, you give him the what for because you just don't want to do it. Oh, you say, I'll do it, but boy, while you're doing it, you're letting him know that you don't want to do it. And what you're doing is you're destroying your husband's spirit where one day he says, I'm tired of this fighting. He won't leave you, but he'll stop leading you. Good preaching, Brother Domley. Amen. You listen to me. We've let this society ruin our homes and ruin the authority inside the home. I do not believe that a lady is subpar to some man, that she's inferior to a man. I believe in her position. I think she's just as equal as a man. But the truth is, I believe God has designed that man is the authority inside the home. And ladies, that doesn't mean because you follow him that you're inferior. It's somebody is responsible. Hey, somebody has just got to decide, I'm going to do what he tells me to do. You wonder why your kids won't obey. It's because wife won't even follow her husband, and kids are watching what mama's doing. Men, you ought to be shouting amen. I'm on your side, but don't worry. I'll get on you. I'll help you ladies out here in just a couple seconds. It's house cleaning time. It's house cleaning time. Oh, I know some of you ladies, you're squirming right now inside. Right now, you're bristling inside. You don't like what I'm saying. Hey, but somewhere, somebody's got to stand up and say, hey, time that lady start doing what the Bible says. What do you see inside these homes? Marriage problems. Why? Because men are not loving their wives as they ought to. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about their wife is no more than some maid inside the house. That's all she is. She's a babysitter for your kids, so you can go and run around with the guys all the time. Let me tell you something. When you walked down the aisle, sir, and you looked at your wife and you said, I do, you said, forsaking all others. That includes your buddies down at the golf course. It's about time some of you men come home and discover you have a wife at home that's trying to help you and love you. Hey, love your wife. It's house cleaning time. It's house cleaning time. Some of you, your marriage is nothing more than your home is nothing more than a hotel for two people to live in. Because your marriage is just simply existing inside. And ladies and gentlemen, we cannot have revival in our churches when the marriages of our churches are shaky. Hey, it's house cleaning time tonight. Some of you have so much pride that you don't want to let the preacher know we're having problems in our marriage. Let me help you out. Every marriage is a work in progress. Every marriage will have problems somewhere. Why? Because you got a man and a woman living inside the house. And normally the woman's wrong all the time. Help me out, man. Yeah, there you go. No. Listen. The man's going to be wrong at times. The woman's going to be wrong at times. And there's times that both of them are wrong. But ladies and gentlemen, hey, you're having problems. Instead of just letting those things fester to where your marriage becomes a place where you just coexist, get some help. Good night. Swallow your pride. I'd hate to think that all I'm going to do is exist for the rest of my life with the person I'm married to. Good preaching. What do you see inside these chambers, Brother Donnelly? I see wrong music. I'm talking to some of you teenagers. You sit in church with that move me attitude. And the reason why you sit there with that move me attitude is because the music you're listening to is not God's music, it's the devil's music. Sound like you're preaching on that. Let me tell you something, about time we clean up our music. The devil's music is death music. You don't believe me? Look at all those who've died in the rock music field. Hey, the average rock musician dies at 36 years of age. God gives life. He don't give death. Think it's so great, ask Britney Spears right now. Shout like that. Reason why some of you are bristling right now, because your music is coming out right now. What? Your music is, it's just pouring out of your face. You're sowing it. You sit there and boy, you had that look, that glare at me like, boy, you could kill me with your eyeballs. Let me help you out. Somewhere, we've got to clean up our music. I'm talking about get rid of the Christian rock, get rid of the country and western, get rid of the rock music, get back to old-fashioned gospel music. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. House cleaning time. What do you see inside these inner chambers? Well, if you didn't like all of that, you're not going to like the rest of it. What do you see inside these chambers, Brother Dominic? I'll tell you what I see. Covetousness. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about people tonight that are never satisfied with what they have. God's never given you enough. You're always complaining about what God has not given you, and you've never stopped to see what God has given you. We are the most covetous society in the world, and that society's ever had. We live in a society we never have enough. We get some of you, your husband tries to give you a house, and then you're not satisfied with that house. Tries to buy you a car. You want a better car. Well, the idiot light came on. Well, good. Fix it. Just because something went bad doesn't mean you have to buy a new car. Always griping. Never satisfied what we have. Let me help you out. Let me tell you what the Bible says. God says, if we have food and raiment, he's therewith to be content. Let me ask you something. How many of you had food to eat today? Raise your hand. Wow. And it looks like everybody has clothes on in here, and that's good. You know what that means tonight? That means tonight that everybody should be content with what you have. You notice God did not even say if we have food and raiment and a house. He said if you lived outside in the cold weather and all you had was food to eat and clothes on your back, he says, hey, you ought to be happy. I don't like that preaching. Yeah, because you've been bit by the covetous bug. America's the most wealthy, fat cat society we've ever been. And yet we're still not satisfied with what we have. Why? Covetous. It's amazing. You never hear a preacher, hardly ever preach on being covetous. Why? I'll tell you exactly why. Fundamentalism is filled with covetousness. I'll tell you exactly why. Because preachers are just as bad about it as the members are. What do you see inside of these inner chambers? I see bitterness. I see people bitter over something that's happened in the past. I see people that's angry down deep inside the heart. You're angry. No one can help you because you're so bitter and angry inside. Hey, it's house cleaning time. It's house cleaning time. It's house cleaning time. What do you see inside these inner chambers, Brother Tomley? I see jealousy. Jealousy, yeah. Yeah. When someone else gets a nice car, oh, it must be nice. It is. Somebody else gets a bigger house, oh, must be nice to have that kind of money. Somebody else gets a position. Why didn't I get that position? Well, you're proving it right now. Jealousy, bitterness, covetousness, anger. Oh, you, hey, all these previous things that I mentioned may not apply to you, but I guarantee some of these things I'm mentioning right now, it's just about hit everybody inside this building. What do you see inside of these inner chambers? Pride. Pride. So what are you talking about? Think you're always right? Would never admit you're wrong. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about you never walk an aisle. Invitation time. Well, God hadn't spoke to my heart. You're just revealing your heart, that's all. So what are you talking about? Let me explain. Look at Cook, right? Come up here and stand over on that other side. Let me tell you what you're doing when you say God never speaks to my heart in church. You know, at a distance, Brother Cook looks like a pretty decent fellow. Notice I said a distance. As tall as he is, I probably ought to go farther back, but I can't. You know, I take a couple steps forward. I realized, boy, Brother Cook, you're starting to get some bags underneath your eyes. I didn't see that way back there. Get up here. Got a bad attitude too, don't you? You know, I come another couple steps forward, and I notice your shirt collar is just a little bit tweaked there. It's not straight. Your wife should have dressed you instead of yourself. You know, I take a couple steps forward. I say, good night. You're getting thin up there. I didn't recognize that way back there. You're doing a pretty good come over like I am. You know, I get right here, and this is about as close as we're going to get. I can see a lot of flaws when I'm this close. And I wonder how he ever got married, other than she was decided to have a missionary project. That's all. You know what's happened? The closer I get, the more his countenance is revealed to me. Ladies and gentlemen, our pride has filled us so much, it's moved us so far away from God that God's righteousness cannot even reveal our unrighteousness. You listen to me. You check the Bible out every time anybody's ever been in the presence of God. The closer they got to God, they never stood up and said, boy, look how spiritual I am. Look how good I am. Every time anybody ever got to the presence of Almighty God, they fell down because God's righteousness shined a light on their unrighteousness. And they said, woe is me. I'm undone. Ladies and gentlemen, only thing you're doing when you say God does not speak to me, you're showing how far you are from God, because his righteousness cannot reveal your unrighteousness. But God has to speak to me. No, God doesn't have to speak to you. His righteousness will reveal your unrighteousness. I'm talking to people been saved for 20 and 30 years. It's been years, months, if not years, since some of you ever walked an aisle. Amen. Well, God didn't move me. He don't have to move you. His righteousness should have shown your unrighteousness. Well, I'm just really close to God. Oh, if that's the case, you'd be down here more than anybody else would. I've learned, preacher, the more I try to draw closer to God, the more filthy I feel. Sometimes I scratch my head and I wonder why in the world God ever choose me. You say you're that bad? Yes, I am. And so are you. We get so close to God, his righteousness is a bright light, and it shines on us, it exposes to us what's inside. You see, the further that we get away from God, the more things that can block that light of his righteousness. That's why some of you, God never speaks to you. So far. So far. God's light cannot reveal your unrighteousness. Why? Pride. I'm not going to walk down there. You just block the light. God's righteousness. I'll not admit to that preacher I'm doing something. I don't want him to know it. Pride. It's house cleaning time. It's house cleaning time. Hey, it's house cleaning time. Thank you. You can go back to sleep now. I could keep on going on and on and on down the list. I don't need to. Ladies and gentlemen, we will never have revival until, first of all, God's people come to God and confess their sins to God. Listen to what the Bible says. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to notice something. Never one time in the Bible does God command us to come to him and ask for forgiveness. But God always commands us to come, confess our sin to him. He said the very second you confess your sin to me, he said, I'll forgive you. You don't have to ask for it. He said, I'll forgive you. Just confess it. What's that? Name it to God. Let me tell you what the average Christian does every day. You ready for the average prayer? Dear God, forgive me of all my sins. Then we move on. Let me tell you what you've done for your sins. Zip. Nothing. Why? You've never admitted your sin to God. You know why God said confess it? Ladies and gentlemen, when you start naming your sin to God, all of a sudden we start realizing how good we are not. That's why God said confess it. He just wanted us to get rid of our pride, admit to him that we're not as good as we think we are. Name it. Oh, You don't have to come in front of the whole church and tell the whole church what you're doing. I don't think that's always wise. But ladies and gentlemen, I do believe you got to go to God and say, God, this is what I've done. Oh, I'm so sorry. I wish I wouldn't have failed you. I'm sorry I disappointed you. Ladies and gentlemen, the very second we come to God, confess our sin to God. God says, I'll forgive you. How ugly is your sin to you tonight? How ugly is it? When's the last time you got broken over the sin you have in your life? Well, I don't know what it is. Let me help you out. Ask the Holy Spirit to show it to you, but be ready when you ask that question. Because he's quick to point it out. I always hate that time every day. Because you know why? He shows it to me. You want to know why I preached the way I did? I have tonight. If you only knew how much sin hurts those who are not even guilty of it, you'd preach the same way too. Sin has long fingers. And sin's fingers reach very deeply and hurt a lot of people who are innocent bystanders. Ladies and gentlemen, somewhere someone's got to stand up and wave the red flag and say, hey, house cleaning time, house cleaning time. If you could feel the pain of the broken heart, if you could help those whose lives have been hurt because somebody else has sinned, oh, you'd be up here tonight and you'd say, preacher, keep on preaching. Preacher, don't stop preaching that way. Yes, preacher, hey, keep on. Why? Oh, it hurts. It hurts. Not only does it hurt the one that's doing the sin, it hurts those who it affects. Bystanders. I ask you tonight, what kind of heart do you have? Be honest. Not with me. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to impress me, because I don't know. Tell God right now what kind of heart you have. Be careful. He's listening. Don't lie to him face to face. What kind of heart do you have? When I come and stand before God in the presence of God, I just have this feeling none of us could say to God, God, I have that clean heart. I think a lot of us have some surface clean hearts. We're pretty decent. But somewhere buried deep in some chamber of our heart, there's some sin that tonight should be taken care of in this church, at this altar. Why? It's house cleaning. It's house cleaning. Before I walked inside this building tonight, I spent my time in my room on my knees. Search me, O God. Know my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me. As he searched me, his light of his righteousness shined some light on my unrighteousness. And I had to go to God even before I faced you. Say, God, I'm so sorry. I've done wrong. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. How about it tonight? What is it tonight? I may not have even mentioned it, but you know what it is. What is it tonight? The Holy Spirit shined on your heart tonight. Why don't you tonight, in just a moment, come down this old-fashioned altar. Tonight, let's just decide. Let's have a house cleaning. Not in the church, but in the individual who fills this church. Father, this is not an easy sermon to preach, Because a sermon like this, you always have that possibility of making several people upset. But God, the truth is, if the truth upset them, then so be it. But the truth is tonight, I have a feeling tonight, these altars ought to be packed out with your people coming down, deciding tonight, some whose heart you've never spoke to for a long time, because so far your righteousness has not had a chance to reveal their unrighteousness. May tonight these altars be packed out with your people confessing some sin to thee. No matter how long it takes, confess it to you. In just a moment, I want to point to the pianist. She's going to begin to play. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands tonight. But if God spoke to your heart on that very first note, I want you to leave your seat. I want you to go down the nearest aisle, come down the front. Kneel down at this altar tonight. Do some business with God tonight. You know what it is. If God didn't speak to your heart, maybe you ought to come and say, God, am I so far away from you that you can't even show me my unrighteousness? God, I don't want that to be. I want to be so close that I continually clean my life up because your righteousness is helping me clean my life up. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Everyone's standing to their feet. No one is looking around. The instrumentalists begin to play. As they play, God spoke to your heart. Why don't you step out? Why don't you come?